The latest from the NBA. Does playing again harm a movement that we absolutely, unequivocally embrace? And then whether our play can in fact highlight, encourage, and enhance the movement. That's Michelle Roberts in today's piece from Ramona Shelburne and Adrian Wojnarowski. There's that and there's the bubble and time is ticking away. Kyrie Irving, VP of the union, clearly voicing one side of players' thinking. Dwight Howard, posting a personal view of it, said the unity of my people would be a bigger championship, no basketball, until we get things resolved. And maybe you saw Patrick Beverley's tweet. Say what you all want. If King James says we're hooping, we're all open. Pablo Torre, Mina Kimes, Clinton Yates, thanks for being here today. Pablo, I'm going to start with you. On the very latest here, does this make you think we're closer or further from an NBA season?
I think the NBA season's biggest threat, Tony, is still the pandemic. And this news cycle around Kyrie and Dwight, like, it's funny because if it wasn't those two guys, and if it wasn't the world's foremost flat earther in particular, the conversation around what they're doing would be a lot different. Because what this is really a phase that a VP of the players union, as Kyrie is, might embark regardless, right? It's, should we be doing this given the historic singular moment in history that we are in right now with regard to racial and civil unrest? So that seems to be a worthy conversation. And honestly, it's already a successful one because what is the goal? It is to get this story, the race in America's story, into the spotlight. They have done that, and what they are doing by being defiant of authority, they're actually doing what Colin Kaepernick and Tommy Smith and John Carlos did, which many people are saying is the reason you play the games. They're defying authority. You don't need to be playing games to do that. And so I appreciate that they're having the conversation, even if I hope and expect basketball will continue.
Mina Kimes?
I agree. It's actually kind of surprising it took the plan to bring basketball back this long to hit a speed bump, because Pablo's absolutely right. Kyrie's point would be received very differently if it was coming from, say, Jaylen Brown or J.J. Redick, and there's a lot of validity there. Look, reasonable minds can disagree about the best platform for protest, what actually leads to change. But what's irrefutable, from my standpoint, is that if we had had basketball over the last few weeks, we would be spending a lot more time talking about that than we have on this network amongst us talking about player activism. He's absolutely correct. Where he lost me, and I think where he's going to lose some of the players, is when he reportedly said, well, 20 players make all the money anyways, and they're trying to divide us. That's the issue, right? Because Austin Rivers was correct in pointing out a lot of players will not want to give up their pay, will not want to risk the NBA ripping up the CBA. And that's why I think we're still going to get basketball, regardless of what other points are made.
Mm-hmm. Now we'll bring in Clinton Yates here. I think you should start maybe with Kyrie Irving, if you don't mind. Clinton, since Mina and Pablo have attached to that.
Yeah, I will start with Kyrie Irving, but that last point that Mina brought up is important to what his larger statement was here. He's saying, basically, we could all be making a lot more money, and if you look at not just the social cause that's happened in terms of Black Lives Matter becoming something that people actually think about, but also just think about who the players are. It's not just that there's a lot of Black folks who happen to be players in the NBA. They're the top 1% of what they do. If this is a chance to wrest power back in any way for what they think that they should be worth, this is a smart thing worth considering, especially if you're in that position as Kyrie. And so listen, there's a lot of jokes to be had about Flat Earther, and trust me, I was making a lot of them, but he's making sense right now. To think long term on this, I actually commend him a little bit, because it's something worth considering more largely than just this season and this tournament.
That's addressing it from a player's right perspective. But Dwight Howard, then, he minced no words talking about this would be bigger for my people than a championship for myself, and then saying no basketball until we get things resolved. How did you read that, Clinton?
I mean, that is, again, what we're talking about. Oftentimes when Black folks are in positions where they are asked or asking for something, it's considered take what you can get and then go there. But listen, how did NASCAR end up pulling their Confederate flags down? Because Bubba Wallace, asking for the right to be able to protest, simply kind of threw it in. He said, that'd be great if they did that too, and they did it. And that was amazing. You have to ask, and you have to be able to visualize at the top level if you're even going to be able to consider making any sort of change. So I don't mind this from a discussion standpoint, even as it doesn't relate to the playoffs right now. They got to get thinking like that if that's something that they feel is important to them long term.
Pablo, I know you said this message may be received differently if it wasn't coming from Kyrie Irving and Dwight Howard, because of maybe the perception fans and everybody has of those two guys throughout their career and the way they play basketball. but specifically on Howard saying no basketball until we get things resolved. How did that strike you?
Yeah, that seems way more extreme than I think the average player perspective. And talking to people around the league, I think it's worth noting that the faction that Kyrie and Dwight represent, Kyrie also said, I'm willing to give up everything. That is the smallest of all of the factions that have questions about what is the restart of the NBA going to look like. But here's the easy out, Tony, right? Because you're allowed to have those opinions, and those opinions, in some sense, are actually quite virtuous. The easy out is everybody's going to make the decision for themselves. They're going to decide, is the cost less or greater than the benefit? And if those two guys want out, that's totally cool. It's also totally fine for people who want to use the platform of the league to do it their way, like LeBron. That'll also be fine.
You said if those two guys want out, can you see an NBA where players sit out this shortened season and postseason out of protest?
I can, simply because Dwight Howard and Kyrie Irving, Kyrie, of course, is not playing anyway, but Dwight Howard has put himself out there and said, yes, this is incredibly real to me. I did not think that beforehand, simply because you follow the money, Tony, and everybody wants to get paid, of course. But if Dwight feels this way, I can certainly see him living up to those words.
Mina Kimes, can you?
I can. I don't think it'll stop basketball from coming back, especially because we're not talking about the stars. It's really the same conversation we had about, you know, what if a player tests positive? How will it affect how we see this season? It really only matters if it's one of the stars or, you know, a player on a really competitive playoff team. But I absolutely think it's possible some of these players might sit out, and I think it would send a meaningful message. I really do.
That gets us to Patrick Beverley's tweet, Clinton Yates. You all know what it is. If King James says we're hooping, we're hooping. How does that sit with you?
I think that's a sober assessment of who the most important player in the league is from a guy who's known to speak out. But I just want to say quickly, I mean, the reason why this is difficult for the Black Lives Matter movement is because, look, George Floyd is not some faraway person. Let's not forget about Steven Jackson and his relationship. And if Steven Jackson looks at this and says, yo, the time is not right now, people listen to that. People understand that. It's not to say that everybody has to feel that way, but that is a reasonable outlook on what is happening. It's just like, you know what? Can't really do this right now. The world is just too crazy.
So you think, reasonable outlook. Do you think it will have a reasonable reaction by the basketball viewing public, Clint Yates?
No, I don't. And I think that's one of the things that's going to be very difficult for people to deal with, is that if somebody just says, I can't fade this right now, nobody's going to buy that because they can't process the notion that you can't do something for millions of dollars. But it's bigger than that. It's about who you are, you know, in terms of your humanity. And if as a black person, a player doesn't want to play because they don't feel comfortable, all good, brother. Keep it going.
Thanks for your thoughts on that, guys. We're going to take a break right here. When we come back, the sealed letter from baseball to the Yankees and the Astros' reaction to that in 2 minutes.
Around the Horn is presented by Modelo, brewed for those with a fighting spirit. Part of Happy Hour.
Tell us when to show up for work. Players unions in Major League Baseball. You're not going to believe this, national panel, but very little progress has been made here. Clinton Yates,
no.
I turn to you. What are you hearing right now? How can this possibly happen? I say it every time. Baseball tonight, baseball any day. What are we doing here?
I'm hearing a group that doesn't seem to understand what its biggest possible failure is. The biggest possible problem is not baseball not coming back. The biggest problem is that baseball comes back, players are upset, the everybody fan who knows what's going on is not happy about it, the product is worse, and then maybe, I don't know, the season has to stop because, oh, by the by, there's a pandemic. So look, through all this stuff, if you can't even sort it out to pay the very people who are doing the job that's going to make you money, you're going to lose the PR battle. Never mind the season. None of this is good, and it breaks my heart as the biggest baseball fan on this program.
Well, you've got that pencil in your hand. You are keeping score here in the PR battle. Not that that really matters, but wait. So you're 100% sure the owners are losing the PR battle as well?
Absolutely. There's no baseball. The players want to play, and you're not even going to give them the full money to
come back. Yes.
And you're
Understood.
Decimating the careers of the guys who were playing at lower levels. Clearly, you don't care. It's obvious.
I understand everything you're saying. I'm just wondering, in public perception, are players blaming, or are fans blaming owners just as much as players? Pablo Torre, I'll bring you in here as well. I mean, clearly this is not good news, but what are you reading right now?
Yeah, I think this could be the owner's first L in, like, the history of baseball PR labor negotiations. That feels fair to say. But the problem, Tony, and the reason I'm so pessimistic about this, is that it's not simply about money anymore. Like any toxic, perhaps permanently broken relationship, this is about principle. This is about the past. This is about how baseball players feel that they have been mistreated before this season. So baseball's union right now is pushing back equally hard, not simply because they don't like the offer on the table and because the owners have been dishonest, both true. It's because they want to prove a point. And that, to me, says no baseball.
Mina Kimes.
I think for the players, it's about principle. It's about standing their ground for, you know, future generations of labor. I think for the owners, it's about being right. And that's what's so crazy about this. Not just that it's objectionable from a moral standpoint, and we've talked about, you know, the owners wanting the players to take on outsized risks, to share in their losses when they don't let them share in their gains, but from a strategic one, in response to this statement from the PA, they put out their own statement this weekend saying, oh, the players want virtually all the revenue and trying to, you know, put out their own employees as some sort of shield. In the process of blowing all of this smoke, they are burning down their own house. Who does this serve? Who are they convincing? All it does is inflame the players further.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, the welcome distraction of maybe another ball club and a sign-stealing scandal, maybe they'll be all right with that. That's our next story. Let's talk about that, okay?
Look, over there.
A federal judge ordering the unsealing of Rob Manfred's 2017 letter to the Yankees. Yankees and MLB on the same side here filing paperwork to block it this afternoon. And I love Carlos Correa's real-time tweet to all this. Quote, wait, what? Mina Kimes, please, go.
I am buying this because who would have thought this would be a respite amidst all of the serious issues we're talking about. I am buying Carlos Correa's sassiness. I'm buying the fact that he believes, I'm guessing his teammates believe, that what the Yankees did, not that different from what the Astros did. And the fact that the Yankees don't want us to know lends some credence to that.
Clint Yates.
Yeah, I believe that people should want to know, and I'm sure they do want to know. I don't care, though. This isn't going to change anything for me. This is so low level on the things I'm worried about in baseball, although it's 2020. You're not going to get away with hiding anything anymore. That's the whole
point. But you mean, because everybody's doing it, everybody's been doing it, I can understand
that. No, I mean, there's much bigger issues about the game in general than for me to worry about.
Of course, there is no game in general. Yes, we have that. Right now, there is no game. Pablo Torre, though, can you harp on to Carlos Correa's wait, what?
I love it because the Astros have somehow become the winner of the pandemic. There aren't many of them, but the Astros, which don't have to play the games you just mentioned, Tony, and therefore won't get hit, and also can now throw shade in all directions, that is just delicious, even though I don't like the people who are really salivating at it.
All right, 2-minute break right here. Coming back with the news of the day, Ezekiel Elliott.
Around the Horn is presented by Modelo, brewed for those with a fighting spirit. Part of Happy Hour.
NFL coaches have reported for 10 days to team facilities. Players have yet to report. And we already have positive COVID tests coming out among players. The agent for Ezekiel Elliott confirming he was one of the positive tests. Elliott said his agent did not break the story and tweeted out HIPAA? Which brings to question whether he thinks his privacy has been violated throughout all this. This is a pretty tough scenario for the NFL going forward, wouldn't you all agree? Mina Kimes, I want to bring you in here on the news of the day that Elliott's test was positive.
Earlier we were talking about whether Kyrie's descent would stop the NBA season. This is the one true speed bump for all of these seasons. And by the way, it's going to continue happening when the season begins. Imagine if Elliott tests positive during the season, once games actually start. It's not going away, and it's why our optimism, or I guess enthusiasm, needs to be tempered.
Mm-hmm. Pablo Torre?
Yeah, this pandemic isn't going away because people are tired of it. And I say that as much to my fellow New Yorkers as it is to all the sports fans who are processing this Zeke Elliott news, because this news cycle, Tony, is a lot more like a pendulum than anything else. We swung away from the pandemic. Now we're going to swing back because look at the data across the country. This stuff is increasing. NFL players are going to be caught in the middle of it like everybody else.
Clint Yates?
It's particularly difficult because we've seen guys in the public places doing things that some people judge as not smart in terms of how they may or may not acquire this. We've seen reporting about what people are doing, when they have or have not gotten it. I really hope we don't get to a point where we're passing judgment on people for coming down with something during a pandemic. I'm really concerned that that's where we're going to be, where we go with this, as opposed to focusing on how we can all be healthy.
Yeah, the public shaming or searching for a patient zero in one league as positive tests come out, that's clearly got to stop. You know, I mean, that's offensive in many number of ways. But, Mina, my wonder is, I mean, the NFL releases injury reports every single week about players being questionable. What is this year going to be? I mean, so he says HIPAA, that's against medical professionals, but there is information that needs to get out for the league to be able to operate. That's our time for today. We'll be back tomorrow. 23-hour and 40-minute break.